Already, here we are, 2 months past Christmas, and Lent is coming up this Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, beginning a time of spiritual renewal, a time for renewal of our faith, renewal of hope, renewal of love. The old English word Lent means springtime, and Lent is exactly that. Springtime for the soul filled with the freshness of new life after experiencing the cold, dead barrenness of sin's winter. And how do we embark upon this renewal? There are the three traditional good works of Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving, works of charity. But all of these things, our prayer, if it's undertaken only because we need something from God or out of obligation, if we fast for the same reason, only out of obligation or with the intention of doing something only for personal reasons, if almsgiving is simply for show or worse yet, done begrudgingly, then these things have no meaning. But every good work, every good intention must begin deep within the soul, at our very core, that is, from the heart, from love. How we observe Lent, how we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection at Easter, depends on how we see life, how we see death, how we see salvation, the things that we should value as truly important. As Christians, we must see life as a gift to be lived in the service of God and neighbor through prayer and charity. Life is a time for us to enjoy the gifts of God's creation, to care for these gifts and use them wisely, to develop our fullest potential, to enjoy the company of others, to assist one another in doing good and helping those who are in need of our care. In our various callings, with our various gifts and abilities, we help to build up a world of justice and peace and love by obedience to God, living the gospel, and turning away from sin. Being human, we acknowledge the reality of sin, and we accept death as a consequence of sin, but at the same time as Christians, we find hope in the death and resurrection of Christ. For us, we participate in Christ's death each and every day, whenever you and I die to temptation, when we die to our baser passions and desires that lead us astray from God, in the times that we accept sickness or pain, accept weakness and sorrow, and unite these experiences to the cross as a way of joining Christ in his salvation, his giving of salvation, his sacrifice for the world. We do the same in accepting our own death, whenever and however it may come, uniting that death too, that upcoming death of ours, to Christ's. We always see death as the final consequence of sin, but also as the means to eternal life that was given to us in baptism. Death leads to life. And this, brothers and sisters, is how we see salvation. Another word for salvation is redemption. To redeem means to recover, to atone for, to make good. And this is exactly what Christ has done. He has recovered us from sin. He has given us mercy in exchange. He has atoned for our transgressions. He has made good, giving us back the supernatural life that we lost through sin, and refashioned us into his own divine image. Holiness. Holiness has been restored by Christ's greatest act of love. Life, death, salvation, all this is combined into one thing into which every one of us is being called, into holiness. And the key to holiness is love. God says to us in the book of Leviticus, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And of course, God is love. God continues by telling us not to bear hatred toward others, to correct them if we must, but not through anger or humiliation. Take no revenge, he says, and hold no grudges. Jesus, again, reminds us in the gospel to resist the desire for retaliation. He tells us to give to others generously and to go over and beyond what's expected of us, even to love our enemies and our persecutors, always doing good to those who don't always show us good in return. Be perfect, Jesus says. Be perfect in your love, just as God is perfect in his. So I think the words of the opening prayer we had for Mass today direct us well in having a fruitful Lenten season. Firstly, that we always ponder spiritual things, not simply be consumed by the day-to-day worldly things that do indeed need care, but to never forget the things that are truly important, that is, Christ himself. That we keep our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus. We keep our hearts and minds fixed on his holy will for us, that he would be the origin and direction of everything that we say, everything we do, and everything that we are. That we carry out in our daily prayer, carry out in our reception of the sacraments, in our conversations with others, to carry out in our daily actions and our acts of charity, to carry out in every word and every deed, everything that is pleasing to Christ. That we never forget his benefits and blessings, that we remain always mindful and grateful for his goodness, that we share what we have and do without the things that we don't really need. We are, St. Paul reminds us, temples of God, and that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, dwells in each and every one of us. The temple of God, which you are, St. Paul says, is holy. Therefore, be holy. Be perfect. Be love. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. And God is perfect. God is holy. God is love. Let your love for God and your love for one another be perfect. Let your love for God and one another be holy.